Welcome to worship at St. Mark's today. Today is a great day as the kids will start off our first service by singing a song reminding us about the theme of today. So we welcome the school kids here. Thank you for lending your voices to worship. We appreciate your encouragement today. We also appreciate your moms and dads and other people who made a very special effort to get everybody here a little earlier than normal. So thank you very much for that. It is certainly not unnoticed. Today is our last Sunday in our stewardship month. And Jesus is going to wrap everything up with some very practical advice for us. Take everything that he has given you, physical and spiritual, and use it to do good. Good as Jesus defines it, good as will benefit you, will benefit your neighbor, will benefit us as a congregation. So today we will talk about rich man wealth and Lazarus wealth. And I look forward to sharing that with you and explaining that to you more fully during the service. The order of worship that we follow at St. Mark's is always printed in the worship booklet. So if you didn't get one on the way in, now is a good time to get the attention of one of the ushers. They'll make sure that you are equipped for worship. And you are also invited to join in the children singing the refrain, the last refrain on the very bottom of page 3. It's in bold print. So we will join in wrapping up their song with them. With those announcements, may God bless our worship and our children sing our opening hymn. Thank you. worship continues on the top of page 4 in the worship booklet. Please stand. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you.
And also with you.
We have come into the presence of God, who created us to love Him and to serve Him as His dear children. But we have disobeyed Him, and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy.
Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you, and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me, according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin, and take away my guilt.
God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven all your sins. By the perfect life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God give you strength to live according to His will.
Amen.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord.
Let us pray. Mercifully grant, O God, that your Holy Spirit may in all things direct and rule our hearts, for without your help we are unable to please you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The first lesson is from Ecclesiastes chapter 5. This lesson, inspired by the Holy Spirit, comes to you on behalf of a man who had it all. He bought it all. He had it all as king. There was nothing that he was denied. And he said none of it helped. In the end, the only thing that truly mattered to him was having a relationship with the Lord, enjoying the good things God did give, and then going home to be with God forever. Again, we will revisit those thoughts in the sermon this morning, too. If you see the poor oppressed in a district and justice and rights denied, do not be surprised at such things, for one official is eyed by a higher one, and over them both are others higher still. The increase from the land is taken by all. The king himself profits from the fields. Whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefit are they to the owner except to feast his eyes on them? The sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of a rich man or wealth lost through some misfortune, so that when he has a son, there is nothing left for him. Naked a man comes from his mother's womb, and naked he returns. Well, verse 13. I have seen a grievous evil under the sun, wealth hoarded to the harm of its owner, and as he comes, so he departs. He takes nothing from his labor that he can carry in his hand. This too is a grievous evil. As a man comes, so he departs. And what does he gain since he toils for the wind? All his days he eats in darkness, with great frustration
affliction, and anger. Then I realized that it is good and proper for a man to eat and drink, and to find satisfaction in his toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given him, for this is his lot. Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is a gift of God. He seldom reflects on the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with gladness of heart.
This is the word of the Lord. We join together to sing the psalm of the day. On the bottom, starts on the bottom of page 6, Psalm 146. We'll sing the entire psalm together this morning. The second lesson is recorded in Revelation chapter 2. In this lesson, Jesus reminds us what is true wealth, that is to walk with him through this life and live with him, comforted forever in heaven. To the angel of the church in Smyrna write, "These are the words of him who is the first and the last, who died and came to life again. I know your afflictions and your poverty, yet you are rich. I know the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you, the devil will put some of you in prison to test you, and you will suffer persecution for 10 days. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt at all by the second death." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
Please stand for the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this day is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 16. This lesson is the basis for my sermon this morning.
There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell, where he was in torment, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, "Father Abraham, have pity on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire." But Abraham replied, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot, nor can anyone cross over from there to us." He answered, "Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them so that they will not also come to this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead."
This is the Gospel of the Lord. Please be seated. At this time, we continue with our children's sermon for today. I invite those children in fourth grade or younger to come forward. If you would like to bring your child up and sit with them so that they're more comfortable, you're certainly welcome to do that. So I will join the children in the front row for the children's sermon. I think if we get close, we can all fit. Maybe some of you can go join these people here, just so we're all on the same side. Come over here. Sit in the first few pews here. That's a great spot for you. And two more can fit right here. One, two, I bet all three of you can. Let me squeeze. Well, good morning. Oh, thanks. Maybe this will get us talking. I have something. It's a dollar. Does this make me a rich man?
No.
Dollars can't make you rich? What if I had a lot of them? Would I be a rich man? All right, let's close mouths, raise hands for just a second. What can you do with a dollar? Tyler, what can you do with a dollar? Yeah, like what? Fix stuff like crazy glue. You can buy crazy glue for a dollar. It comes in handy. Yeah, you can fix stuff. What else can you do with a dollar? You can use it to buy food. Maybe you go buy a snack, or maybe you could buy a whole can of beans, and maybe you could eat that can of beans in the morning and in the afternoon and at supper time. Right? You could do that. There's a lot you can do with this. Or go to the dollar menu at McDonald's. Yum. You could do a lot with the dollar. One more. What can you do with the dollar? Yeah, you can give it to somebody who needs it, somebody who doesn't have as much as you, and there's lots of different ways to do that. There's lots of different things that I can do with this dollar. But do you know what I'm going to do with this dollar? I'm going to fold this dollar up like this, very small. And I'm going to put it in this envelope, like this. I'm going to lick it. And I'm going to put it in the shredder.
No!
Yes, I am. See? There it is. I'm going to put it in the shredder. Is it going to be loud? I'm having a malfunction. Jesus wants me to keep my dollar. Oh, well. We'll just chew it up a little bit. I'll fix that for second service. My dollar is in here, and I was ready to part with my dollar. And would I still be a rich man if I didn't have this dollar?
No.
Maybe. In what way would I still be rich? Garrison. I would still be rich with God, right? I would have one less dollar, so maybe that means I wouldn't have a snack, or I couldn't fix something, or maybe I wouldn't have it to give to somebody who doesn't have as much as me, but I would still have Jesus. And right away we want to say, yeah, but we still need money. That's not for us to worry about. Jesus knows that we need food. He knows that we need clothes. He knows we need someplace to stay. And that's why he gives you parents to take care of you. Jesus says, don't worry about all that stuff. There's something more important, and that is the good news of Jesus. Because Jesus just got done telling us that in the second lesson for today from Revelation, he knows that it's hard and he knows that we have worries, but he says, trust in me and I will provide for you and I will keep you safe. And he has an even bigger promise for us too, that if we remember that we're truly rich in Jesus, he says this, do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. I tell you that some very bad things are going to happen. But he says in verse 10, be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. All the dollars in the world can't buy heaven, can they? But knowing that Jesus lived for you and died for you can. And that's what makes us rich too. We have so much to give people. We can love people, and we can forgive people. We can tell people about heaven. And on top of all of it, Jesus gives us stuff too. So let moms and dads take care of money. That's not for you to think about. You have bigger things to do, like going to school and having fun and being good friends and remembering Jesus has given you a crown of life and you get to be with him someday. I didn't really shred my dollar. I wouldn't have anyway, federal offense. But the point is, Jesus says there's bigger things to life than money. Money is good and he wants you to enjoy and have fun in life, but don't forget, there's a crown of life in heaven for us that makes us truly rich. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for bringing us to church today. Thank you for the kids who sang. Thank you for moms and dads who made the effort to get us here. Thank you for everybody who worked so hard for St. Mark's Church and St. Mark's School. Help us never to worry. Help us to enjoy things that money can buy, but remind us that there's something bigger, and that is you and your love for us. Help us to be generous in sharing your love. Help us to be kind and forgiving to people, and always have us ready to share the good news of Jesus with more and more people. Please bless us through the rest of worship today and let us have a good Sunday too. Amen. Thank you for being my guests up here today. I enjoyed it. You can go back and we're going to sing our next song to get us ready to hear the sermon. Our worship continues with our next hymn, hymn 190. Hymn 190. Thank you. Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. In the name of him who fought for you and lived for you and died for you to secure your crown, greetings to you all in the name of Jesus. I found something interesting online. I found the Chronicle of Philanthropy. That's a website that lists different donors, and to get on this website, somebody has to nominate you, and you have to have donated at least $1 million. And I didn't look through all 583 of these donors, but I didn't find anybody who gave less than $10 million. Some of these people inherited their money. Some of them worked for their money. Some of them managed trusts. More than I expected were in agriculture, and that's how they made their money. But the biggest one that I found was $550 million. But the interesting thing was, it was given from a trust donated to an institute with the same family name. So I wasn't quite sure how that was going to work. And I couldn't find any more information about that donor, but I did find one about somebody who only gave $55 million. And he made his money in clothing and design. And he has this website that says his whole purpose now is to give and to do as much good with his money as he can. Somebody who said he used his business success to do what came naturally, to give. And did he have a lot of tax write-off with his donations? Of course he did. Did he do it for the right reasons? I don't know if he did. Did he do it to, quote, do the right thing? Did he do it was because he was afraid that one day he's going to go meet his maker and he wanted to say, well, at least I gave to the poor? I don't know. But the point is, there are a lot of people who do a lot of good with a lot of money. And this morning, we're going to call that kind of thing rich man wealth. Jesus said in the parable, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. Money, possessions, stuff, things. It's rich man wealth. And do you have to have $550 million lying around to have rich man wealth? Of course you don't. Do you have to have $50 million in order to do a lot of good with what God has entrusted to you? No, you don't. And is living in luxury, or whatever version of luxury God has shared with you, is that a bad thing? Is enjoying money and fine clothes and luxury? No, not at all. It's a blessing. It's a gift from God. God gives to us all in different varying amounts. And maybe for you, a more realistic donation is rounding up your change at Rite Aid. Or maybe you push the button at Safeway that says, yes, I want to donate a dollar to end childhood hunger, or to fight cancer, or whatever cause there is. There's a lot of good that we can do with the rich man wealth that God has entrusted to us. The other side of it, the other thing we want to talk about this morning is Lazarus wealth. King Solomon helps us transition. He says, moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is a gift from God. Rich man wealth is a good thing. He seldom reflects on the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with gladness of heart. And God keeps him occupied. He hasn't separated God from his wealth. He hasn't separated God from who he is and what his value is and the good that he can do. The two go hand in hand, which leads to Lazarus wealth. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came licking his sores. And I know, I understand, I get it. Other than the breath in his lungs, what did Lazarus have? He had nothing. But he had Lazarus wealth. But Abraham replied, son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things.
But now he is comforted here. In terms of things, Lazarus was poor. But in terms of what really mattered, Lazarus was rich. You just have to jump ahead in the story a little bit to see the value of having the riches that Lazarus did. Why else do you think it was that rich man who is now in hell because he completely cut God out of his life, why do you think it was that he wanted someone to go back? And that someone wasn't him? Don't you think that rich man should have said, hey, send me back because I want to tell my brothers, don't cut the Lord out of your life because then they're going to end up where I am. He didn't want to send himself back. Who did he want to send back? Lazarus. Because he knew that Lazarus had something that rich man didn't have and that his brothers didn't have. Now the rich man knew what Lazarus' wealth was all about. Knowing who the Lord is, knowing the blessings of having the Lord, walking with him now, and going home to heaven, where Lazarus received the crown of life, where Lazarus was finally comforted. So this morning we want to talk about rich man wealth and our Lazarus wealth, and all the good that we can do with them. And not just using it to do good, but to do good in the ways that God says are good. Because isn't that the best when you have something and you recognize that God gives this to me? That gave God glory. And when I use it, I can glorify God again. And same thing is true with our Lazarus wealth. It brings God great glory when he brings us to faith and gives us Lazarus wealth. Trust and knowledge of who Jesus is and what he's done for us, and knowing we get to go to heaven. That glorifies God. And then when we get to do good with our Lazarus wealth, we get to glorify God all over again. So doing good with our rich man wealth, I think we get that. There's lots of different ways that we use our rich man wealth in this life. The Bible really directs us to three areas that God wants us to do good. Work hard at doing good with what God gives us. In our families and those who entrust to us, to the government, and yes, that's a blessing too, to use some of what God has given to us to take care of the government. And three, God says, take care of your ministry and use it to glorify God in those areas. Anyone who does not provide for their relatives, Paul wrote to Timothy, and especially for their own household, has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Food, shelter, health, take care of them, provide for people who are dependent on you. That gives great glory to God when you do. And does that exclude fun? No, absolutely not. God wants you to enjoy the life that he has given you. God wants you to take some of what you have and just go have fun with it. But don't forget to do good by taking care of people who are dependent on you. And I suppose we could also include people who do not have what you do and people who are less fortunate than you. That's a great thing to do with some of your rich man wealth. And yes, even the government. Paying your taxes and doing what God asks you to do in that area, that glorifies him too. Jesus said, then give back to Caesar what is Caesar and to God what is God's. Doing that, not giving more, not giving less, that's a way to glorify God. Honoring the fourth commandment, work hard at doing good. And then we're also encouraged to take care of our corporate ministry. Now, about the collection for God's people, do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a money in keeping with your income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collections have to be made. God says, what a great way to do good, to operate a place where people can come and hear their sins are forgiven, where people can come and pray, where they can sing, where they can worship. And then maybe as an aside to that ministry, now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. For Macedonia and Achaia were pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the Lord's people in Jerusalem. In whatever way God has blessed you with rich man wealth, God says, work hard at doing good with it. And then probably the more exciting for us as children of God is to take all of the Lazarus wealth that God has given us and to work hard at doing good with that too. And the different ways that we use our Lazarus wealth, we take care of ourselves. We grow up our own faith. We grow the faith of the people that God has entrusted to us. We get together to make sure that we grow together in our faith, and then we share our faith. St. Paul encourages us, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, use your Lazarus wealth and feed your own faith. Keep your faith strong, so then you can share your faith and encourage other people. Use it in your homes. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Take some of your Lazarus wealth and share it with your children. Model your Lazarus wealth for your kids and for your grandkids. And then finally, we are encouraged, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Get together for worship and share the Lazarus wealth with one another. Sing your hymns together to encourage each other. Pray for one another. Share the Word of God and meditate on the Word of God with one another. Use your Lazarus wealth to do good within our walls and outside of our walls too. Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." These are the ways that we use our Lazarus wealth for good. You know, it's interesting that all God has to do is give us a good thing, and we find a way to turn it into a bad thing. And Solomon, again, did a very good job of warning us, as did Jesus in the parable, where we saw what happened when the rich man was all about being a rich man, and he did not care about God, he did not care about anyone or anything else, he did not use his rich man wealth for good, and he had no Lazarus wealth to do anything good with it. Solomon warns us what happens when we devoid, when we separate using our rich man wealth and our Lazarus wealth from glorifying God. Solomon shares with us, "Whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. This too is meaningless." Loving rich man wealth more than the one who gives it? Or King Solomon says, "Wealth hoarded to the harm of its owner. And as he comes, so he departs. He takes nothing from his labor that he can carry in his hand." He calls that a grievous evil under the sun. When we see rich man wealth as the be-all, end-all of our existence, and getting more of it and more of it is the only thing we care about. Can you see how easily Satan can use that to separate us from God? How easy it is for him to tempt us and get us to see, well, this is just money. This has nothing to do with my relationship with God. Ask the rich man, as he was now in agony, what happens when you separate your rich man wealth from God and using it from glorifying God. Satan is very good at weaseling his way in, and he would love nothing more than to separate you from God forever. And so we need to ask ourselves, because I don't know what's in your head, I don't know what's in your heart, how are you doing at glorifying God and doing good with your rich man wealth? Or is there some worry? Or are you not content? Or do you not see it as a way to glorify God and not a big deal when you don't? Or what about using our Lazarus wealth? You know, do you think it's really sin? Do you think it's really sin to have Lazarus wealth and not do anything with it? Is it really that big of a deal if you don't have that devotion at home with your kids? Or if you as a husband and wife never talk about it? Or if you don't strengthen and encourage your brothers and sisters here with your Lazarus wealth that you have? Or is it really a big deal if you keep your mouth shut in class because you don't want to deal with the professor, you don't want to deal with the teacher? Is it really a big deal if you are not letting your light shine like Jesus asks us and encourages us to do? Satan would have you say, no, it's not a big deal for you not to do good with your Lazarus wealth. And that's just one more way that he works hard to separate you from your Savior. We get to toss any failures that might be in your head and in your heart, as they were in mine this last week thinking about this. We get to toss all of our failures and sin at Jesus. And why is that a good thing to do? Because he walked this earth too. And he had some rich man wealth. He didn't have a lot of it. But you stop and think of what he did with it. He used it to walk around and talk about the kingdom of heaven. And he told his disciples, make sure you use some of it to take care of the poor. And Jesus perfectly managed his rich man wealth for you and for me because we can't and we don't. And Jesus' Lazarus wealth too. Jesus did a lot of good with his Lazarus wealth. He talked about the kingdom of God. He shared it with his disciples. He shared it with his family. He shared it with the world. And he did that for you and for me because we don't perfectly manage our Lazarus wealth. Jesus died to pay for all of our sins, including the times that we do not glorify him with our rich man wealth or our Lazarus wealth. Jesus lived for us and died for us to put us on the path that leads here, to keep us faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes will not be hurt by the second death. All sin is forgiven. What more reason do we need than to work hard at glorifying God with our rich man wealth and with our Lazarus wealth? King Solomon has some parting words for you too. Then I realized that it is good and proper for a man to eat and to drink and to find satisfaction in his toilsome labor under the sun during the few days of life God has given him, for this is his lot. Moreover, when God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is a gift of God. He seldom reflects on the days of his life because God keeps him occupied with gladness of heart. You want to have contentment? You want to have peace in life? Then Solomon says, use your rich man wealth to do good for God. And then you will be satisfied with however much or however little you have. Work hard at glorifying God with your rich man wealth and with your Lazarus wealth. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. You want to glorify God with your Lazarus wealth? Produce this fruit of faith in your homes. Model it for your children and share it with your children. Bring it into our ministry here and then share it outside these walls too. God has made you rich with Lazarus wealth. May he bless you as he builds you up through it, and may he bless us as we share it with more and more people too. Work hard at doing good with everything God has entrusted to you. Amen. Please stand. May the peace of God that goes beyond our understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus, your Savior. Amen. On page 10 in the worship booklet, we have the opportunity to share our Lazarus wealth with one another and to witness it in the world. We do so by confessing our faith together with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated as our offerings are gathered.
In our prayers of the church this morning, we've been asked to include a prayer of thanksgiving from Tim Hall, as his father recently got some good news on his struggle with cancer, that Tim's father's cancer is in remission, so we praise and thank God for that. We also remember Tim and Michelle Williamson, the son and daughter-in-law of Keith and Donna Williamson, at the birth of their daughter, Haley. Also, Deanna Didi has a prayer of thanks and continuing help for her brother-in-law, who suffered a silent heart attack and underwent a major surgery. And we also thank God for a successful surgery for our brother Bill Halfill, a surgery on his ankle, and we ask that God bless his recovery. With those brothers and sisters in mind, let us pray. Lord of heaven and earth, you have made all things beautiful. You provided green forests and refreshing streams. You have arranged the orderly procession of day and night for our work and for our rest. We thank you for all the beauties and bounties of your creation. We thank you for roofs that shelter us, for clothing that protects us, and for food and drink that nourish us. We thank you for our work, for projects that are done well, and for the approval of supervisors and teachers. We thank you for all who serve us and protect us at night to make our days more pleasant and our days to make them more safe. We thank you for our cities and countrysides, for farms and factories, for streets and highways, and for all life that flows so quickly before us. We thank you for the pleasantries of each day. We thank you for morning greetings that we receive and for all the smiles that come from faces loved by you. We thank you for Christian parents and for the opportunity to teach our children. We thank you for Christian education that sustains their faith. We thank you for formal Lutheran education that you have blessed our congregation with. We thank you for our Sunday school teachers who train them up to know the Lord. We ask your Heavenly Father that you would give us balance and appreciation for all the gifts that you give us. Help us to appreciate the greater gifts, the spiritual gifts we have in your Son, our Savior Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise and thank your name that you have brought Haley Williamson into this world. We rejoice with Keith and Donna and Tim and Michelle. We ask that you continue to strengthen Haley. We ask that you bless her through the waters of holy baptism and help Tim and Michelle and their family rejoice at this good news. We also ask that you would bless Tim Hall and his family as they celebrate. Help them to see this victory as it is, a gift and blessing from you. We thank you for the patience that you gave Tim. We thank you for the opportunity to pray for him. And we rejoice with him and praise your name that his father's cancer is in remission. We ask that if it is your will, that would be the case in the future too. Above all, give Tim a strength and confidence to face life in your name. We also thank you that you were with Deanna Didi's brother-in-law. We ask that you would continue to bless him, to make his heart strong if it is your will. Thank you for those who worked on him and who took care of him. We ask that you continue to hear Deanna's prayers for her and for her family. May this be a time that they look to you for strength and guidance, a time that you call them all closer to you. We also ask that you would grant Bill continued recovering. We thank you that it appears that this surgery is successful. We thank you for hearing the many prayers that we lifted up, not only last Sunday, but in the days leading up to his surgery. Please bless Bill and his wife Linda and their sons as he recuperates from the surgery. We thank you for your Son, dear Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, for his coming to us in word and sacrament, for his giving and forgiving, for his listening to our prayers. We ask that you receive our gifts and offering as our sacrifice of praise. And we ask that you hear us as we join together to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Our next hymn 477, helps us meditate on contentment and the good things God does share with us. Hymn 477. Thank you.
Please stand for our closing prayer and blessing. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, pour out the Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us strong in your grace and truth. Protect and comfort us in all temptation. And bestow on us your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, now go in peace. Live in harmony with one another, and serve the Lord with gladness. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Please be seated for our closing hymn. It's hymn 745. You'll find it in the blue hymnal. And we sing a final blessing together, number 745.
Good morning. It was good to be in God's house with you this morning as we had the opportunity to sing God's praises and grow in our faith. I see a lot of guests and visitors with us this morning, some of whom are school families that brought their children to sing with the Acclamation Choir. Thank you for joining us for worship. We hope you can worship with us again soon. And also a special thank you to those third and fourth graders who shared their voices praising Jesus with us this morning. We very much appreciate you. I have a few announcements to share, all of which are in the weekly announcement flyer. So if you miss anything I say, you can catch up with it in the flyer. First, we're beginning a new quarter of adult Bible classes this morning. Pastor Schmidt will be leading a class on Daniel here in the sanctuary. I'm going to be leading a class entitled Idols We Never Knew We Had across the way in the Luther Room. I'm going to whet your appetite with a joke. This is along the lines of Jeff Foxworthy's Redneck, You Might Be a Redneck comedy series. It goes like this. If you cheer louder and are happier on Sunday or maybe Saturday when your favorite football team wins the game than you are celebrating Christ's victory over sin, death, and the devil on Easter Sunday, you might have an idol. We're going to play around with that type of humor in our class this morning. After second service today, we have a voters meeting here in church, a really important congregational meeting. We're going to consider a recommendation from our coordinating council to move forward with Crossroads Consulting Ministry to help us both assess our current situation and then move forward with a strategic plan. So everybody's encouraged to attend that meeting, share their input, and ultimately help our congregation move forward in a way that pleases God. Our Lutheran Women's Missionary Society would like to mention that mission boxes are due today. You can place them on the counter to the left when you leave. Today's the last day for the mission boxes. Our women's ministry group would like to highlight the fact that this coming Saturday, October 1st, they're going to be going on a hike in Effie Yown Nature Center. It's a pretty easy course, and it'll be a good opportunity for fellowship on a Saturday morning. There's information in the flyer, and if you have any questions, you can talk to Amy Norwood. Mrs. Taylor would like to remind us that the new church directory is available, again on the counter to the left when you leave, so that you can stay connected with your St. Mark's family. I have an important invitation to share, our Big St. Mark's Fall event. In the past, we had an Oktoberfest. We also had a school event. We're going to combine them together and have one big fall event. It's going to be the St. Mark's Fall Hoedown. That's going to be coming up on a Friday evening in October, the 14th. It's going to be a good time. We're going to have hay rides. There's going to be a chili, cornbread, and brownie contest. If you like to cook, you can enter those contests and try to win. We're going to have some line dancing over in the gym, and then some good throwback games like a pillow sack race, some tug of war, a pie eating contest. So a great opportunity for fellowship with your St. Mark's family. If you plan to come, there's a sign-up clipboard in the back. You can indicate how many people plan to attend, and if you'd like to participate in one of those cooking contests, you can sign up so that we know what to expect there. Finally this morning, I hope this works, but we're going to share a school video update with some of the fun we've been having in the first month of the school year.